We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Lamed Aleph. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, which reads, HaGemara Tazbir, Loma Dino Shel Rav Chisda Shalagenev Chelbo Shachavero V'Ochlo Chayov B'Tashlumin. The Gemara will explain why the law presented by Rav Chisda that one who steals the chelev, forbidden fats, that belong to his friend, and then eats it, he's chayev to pay eino pligo adino shel Rebbe Ovin, that it is not at odds with Rebbe Ovin's halacha, which deals with hazorek chetz. A person shoots an arrow that travels 4 amos on Shabbos, and in the course of its flight, it tears garments or materials, fabrics belonging to someone else, shu potter. So that you have a seeming conflict, which the Gemara has to show is in fact not a conflict, between Rav Chisda's din of someone picking up chelev belonging to someone else and eating it, where he not only will be chayav the punishment of kores, but also be chayav to pay for it, whereas in the case of the shot arrow that tears someone's garments, he will not be chayav on the financial level. The Gemara, top line, Gufa, Omar Rav Chisda, Moide Rabbi Chanuchunya ben Akona. This is a point that we saw in our previous year, that Rav Chisda tells us that the Tana, Rabbi Chanuchunya ben Akona, whose shita, whose opinion is that one who incurs financial responsibility, obligation, while at the same time violating an offense, a sin that warrants the kores punishment, one is thereby exempt from the financial aspect. Yet he conceives begoinev chelbo shel chavero v'achalo, one who steals the chelev, forbidden fats, of his friend and then eats it, shu chayov, he'll be obligated to pay, in addition to the fact that for eating it he'll be chayav kores. Why here is he yes chayav from on the financial end of things? Shikvar nischayev beginevo kodem shavo lidei isur chaylev. Since the two offenses were not simultaneous, therefore the monetary aspect set in at the point he picked up the chaylev. That's the act of theft. And at that point, he becomes financially obligated, not yet chayev for kores, because he hasn't eaten it at that moment. Therefore, he's chayev for the geneva, which set in before the kores offense of eating the chaylev. So that when things are simultaneous, the financial and the life threatening punishment, when they're simultaneous, so then there's exemption. When they're not simultaneous, when the financial obligation sets in first, it's treated separately, and hence he's not exempted from it. The Gemara now asks a question, last thing, a few lines. Lema pliga de Rebbe Ovin. Should we say that what Rav Chisda is telling us is at odds, argues with Rebbe Ovin? The Omer Rabbi Ovin, Hazorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba, Lesoif Arba. This is a Shabbos related offense, one who shoots an arrow that travels a distance of minimum of 4 amos, the Korah Shiroin Balochoso, and it tears Shiroin fabrics belonging to his friend in its flight. Potur, he is exempt from Tashlumen, from the financial aspect for the need of remuneration. Akira tzorech hanochahi. The exemption is because when the arrow was picked up, the akira is when it's picked up and then shot, it's in anticipation of the eventual landing of it. The malocha, we didn't explain this before, but the malocha of Shabbos, the prohibited activity of Shabbos that is referred to here is the transportation of an item of more than 4 amos in a public thoroughfare. So this arrow that was shot in the public thoroughfare the melacha involves this idea of transporting something, involves its picking up, its dislocation from its point of origin, and its eventual relocation, its landing at its destination. So when the arrow was picked up, that was the beginning of the melacha. In the course of this melacha, the forbidden activity of moving something four amos in a public thoroughfare, in the course of it, in the midst of it, a financial obligation was incurred through the tearing of the shiroin of the fabric. And since the tearing took place in the midst of the Shabbos offense, there is exemption. Now, with that analysis in mind, we continue our question and say, Hochonami, so too here with the achilas chelev, with the theft of the chelev. Hagbot tzorach achilahi. The initial picking up of the chelev was in anticipation of the eventual eating of it. The parallel here to the case of hagbot and the hanocha of the arrow, here of the hagbot, the picking up of the chelev, which was at the beginning. That is in anticipation. That will say, why don't we say that at that point already that you picked up the chelev with the anticipation of eating it, that was like the beginning of the act of eating. So that at that time, you're also incurring a financial responsibility for taking someone else's chelev. But there should be exemption, just like Rabbi Ovin featured exemption in the case of Zorei Chetz. The Gemara says there is no comparison. Hochi hashta. How can you compare the case of Zorig Chetz to the case of the Achilles Chelev? Hasam, and the Gemara will continue now with two distinctions, and that's why you see numbering one and a couple lines later at number two. Hasam, in the case of Shabbos, E.F. Shulanocha Blo Akira, the closing of that Malacha, the end of that Malacha is unfeasible, is impossible to achieve without the beginning. In other words, you can't have a hanocha unless there was an akira. The landing of it presupposes, or built into the hanocha, is an original akira. So it's one inseparable unit of activity, the picking up, which leads to the eventual landing. Hocha, with regard to eating chelev, the eating of chelev carries with it a type of death penalty. It's kores at the hand. It's death in the death through a heavenly intervention. The eating of the chelev, efshir la'achila below hagba, the eventual eating of it can take place even without the initial picking up of it. The iboi gochin viochil, if he should so desire, he could gochin is bend over and eat it that way without having picked it up at all. And without the picking up of it, there's no there we're assuming right now there would be no act of theft. The Rashi says the boy gochin lamato mishloshet tfachim, he could bend down within three tfachim, which means there's no actual picking up the ochil and eat it. Ubotsu migimel lav hagboy, and without, with less than three tfachim raised off the ground, it's not considered hagboy. So you don't have an initial act of stealing in that sense. So when the hagbah is done, it's not an integral part of the eating, since the eating could have been achieved without the hagbah. Therefore, when you do pick it up, that's a separate act. And therefore, there is financial obligation incurred at that point for which one is obligated to compensate. Inami, another distinction. Hosam, in the case of Shabbos and the shot arrow, Iboi laduro lo motzi mahadilo. If he wants to retract the arrow after it's shot, he can't do that. It's an act once begun that can't be undone. So that from the very beginning, once it's done, once you shoot the arrow, it's considered as if it's completely done. And in the course of that, okay, so there was some financial obligation that was incurred, but you're not going to be chayav for it because it's contained within the it's already contained within the act that took place at the very beginning. Hocha, in the case of the chelev, after you pick it up, motzi mahader law, you can restore it, you can put it back down. In other words, the inevitability of it being eaten is not so. In the case of the shot arrow, it's inevitable that the fabric is going to be torn. You can't retract it after it's in flight. And in its flight path was the fabric that is going to be torn. So at the very beginning, it's considered as if the fabric was torn at the very same time that the Shabbos violation set into motion. Not so over here with the Chelev. My Iko Bein Hai Lishno Lahai Lishno. What's the difference between explanation number one and explanation number two? Iko Binayu, a point of difference would be the following case. Someone picks up a knife in a public thoroughfare and walks with it for four amos while holding the knife, and he's holding the knife in such a way that as he's walking along, it rips some fabric that's suspended in his path. So this takes place on Shabbos. Is he obligated to pay? According to the first approach that said you can't have the completion of the Shabbos violation, which is called hanocha, the placing down of the item, without the initial picking up of the item. And the financial obligation happened to be sandwiched in between that, and therefore he was exempt. Hachanami, so too in this case, you can't have a person held guilty for putting something down unless that person initially picked it up. And that applies here too as well in the case of Mavir Sakim Shisarabim. Lahach Lishno de Amris Lomotzi Mahadir Law, according to the second approach that said that the reason for the shot arrow and the exemption from paying is because at the very beginning when you shot the arrow, it was an act that could not be retracted. So the inability to retract it, it made it such as if the fabric was considered torn right at the outset. But according to this version, the Amris lo motzi mahader, hocha motzi mahader law. In the case of Mavir Sakin, when you picked up the knife and started walking with it, you could have retraced your steps and not have come to tearing the item to begin with. And as a result of this ability to retract, when the financial obligation is incurred, according to this lashon, there would be a separate obligation to compensate for the torn shiroyin. Gufa, Omar Rabbi Ovin. On the side, we should note the topic heading. Hagmor makshal dino Rabbi Ovin. The Gemara will ask on Rabbi Ovin's halacha that said hazorek chetz, one who shoots an arrow four amos and it tears some shiroyin. So according to Rabbi Ovin, he will be exempt. So we read the din of Rabbi Ovin that said hazorek chetz poter sheakira l'tzorach hanocha. The picking up was in anticipation of the hanocha at the end. So that din is going to be brought into question. May hamokor shal hagenev kis b'shabes chayev. From the case of someone who steals a pouch containing, we'll say, money on Shabbos, he is actually guilty. Gufa, Omar Rabbi Ovin, hazorek chetz mitchilas arba l'soif arba. We saw, of course, Rabbi Ovin, from the beginning of today's shiur, one who shot an arrow from the beginning of the 4 amah mark, and it traveled a minimum of 4 amahs, and in the course of its flight, it tore someone else's fabrics. So, Potter, he is exempt from paying for the Kriyas Hashiroyin in the course of its halicha, of its travel. She akira tzorech hanocha hi. The initial picking up was in anticipation of its eventual landing, and in the middle, someone else's fabrics were torn. We have a structural note that draws our attention to a structure that lasts till Omid Beis. The bow tie shape, and you can see on the side under the Mivneh heading, Kushios usheelos shedarkon novin pirusho shalamoker dagoine kis. We're going to see questions and explanations through which we'll understand the source that we're about to see in the Gemara regarding one who steals a pouch on Shabbos. Number one, Eich nasta ha'otzo mirshus ha'baylim. How was the removal from the domain of the owner? Number two, Be'eza goydel kis. What size pouch are we dealing with? B'megarer b'seifa. When the source features the dragging out of a pouch, we're going to be interested in knowing what size is that pouch that the source has to talk about it being dragged out. Number three, la'an hotzio. Unto where was it taken? And number four, keman, kemi kotoni mokerze. Who is the author of this source? So now let's turn to the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Bevi Bar Abaye. Rav Bevi raises this source as a question on Rabbi Ovin's halacha of Zorek Chetz. And note the question lasts a number of lines. Hagonev kis b'shabbos chayev. One who steals a wallet, a pouch on Shabbos is guilty of paying for it. Shikvar nischayev b'gneva koyim shiovo lidei isur skila. It's true that when he's in the course of this theft, there's going to be a Shabbos violation, but he becomes chayev on a financial level for the theft before the Shabbos violation takes place, which is referred to in this source as an isur skila, a sin that is punishable by stoning. And we don't have to keep you in suspense. We're talking about the isur of hotzah, taking something from one domain to another, which is prohibited on Shabbos and punishable by stoning. Nevertheless, in stealing this item, he is first guilty of the financial sin of thievery, of theft, and only later is he in violation of Shabbos. Hoya megar v'yotze, person is dragging out a sack, a pouch, and eventually he steals it. He's dragging it out of the domain of the owner. Potter, he's exempt from the payment, from the need to compensate for the theft. Sharei isur Shabbos ugneva boyin kechad, because the act of Shabbos being violated and the theft happened simultaneously. Now we turn to the beginning of this source and we ask, V'amai, why in the beginning is there a chiyuv tashlumin? In other words, if Rabbi Ovin's analysis is correct, hochanami, here too, lema, why not say, like Rabbi Ovin, hagbo tzorach hoitzahi? The picking up of the pouch on Shabbos with the intent of theft, is that picking up not in fact the first act that's necessary in creating hotzah, in violating hotzah, the transfer of the item from one domain to another? So from the very beginning he was involved with a Shabbos violation. So what? He stole it in the interim. Why in the Reisha, if Rabbi Ovin is correct, why should he be chayiv to pay for the pouch that he stole? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'may askinon, in the Reisha that we said he's chayiv to pay, even though there is a death penalty involved, kagon shigbio al menas lahatznio. The initial picking up was with the intention of not carrying out. It was the intention of hiding it, putting it away in the house. V'nimlach olav hotzio. And after he had picked it up, he changed his mind and only then carried it out, after he changed his mind. So you can't say that the initial picking up was with a Shabbos violation intent as well. So it was a separate act of thievery. The Gemara continues with a specific structure. There's a give and take structure, and on the side you see the house of shape featured. with the point facing up, kushios, they represent questions. The inverted house, tshuvos, answers. We have a note. Ma'akav ze hu al birur horishon. This give and take is on the first stage of clarification. Havonas horesha. We're trying to understand the beginning of this source. Ech nasta utso begoinev hakiz kidei shenu chalomar. How was this carried out on Shabbos that we can still say chayev betashlumin? Shekvar nischayev beginev akoidim shiova lidei isur skila. How is it that we can actually say that he was chayev for the gineva before the Shabbos violation set in? So the Gemara tries to answer by saying, tries to explain by saying, his original picking up was not with a Shabbos violation intent. In the course of his carrying it around, he changed his mind and then carried it out on Shabbos. The Gemara asks on the second to last narrow line of Gemara, Vachi, Hai, Gavno, and in this fashion, Mi Chayev, would that result in a Shabbos violation at all? Now, don't forget, in the Reisha, there was reference to a Shabbos violation. Just the claim was, it was after the financial obligation set in for the thievery. Ve'omar Rav Simon, Omar Rebbe Ami, Omar Rebbe Yochanan, Hamifane Chafotzimi Zovis Lizovis, a person who is moving items from one corner of his house to another. The house represents a singular domain. Ve'nimlach Alehem V'hotzion Potter. And after he's in the course of moving, let us say, a chair from one corner of his house to the other, he changes his mind, and in mid-flight, so to speak, in mid-walking, he walks outdoors. That represents a transfer from private domain to public domain, but yet he is exempt. When he picked up that chair, his original intention was to carry it to a different corner of the room. In the course of his carrying of it, he carries it outside. That does not constitute a Shabbos violation, because the original picking up, which is the start of the Melacha, was without a Shabbos violation in mind. It was with the intent of carrying it to another corner of the room. So to explain the ratio of Gonev Kis, where there was a change of mind in mid-action, that would not explain the ratio which speaks about a person, yes, violating Shabbos. Lo temo. So the Gemara answers, lo temo al menas lahatznio. In the Reisha, don't say that he had picked it up, the item with the intention of hiding it. In the Reisha, the thief picked it up with the intention of hiding it without taking it out. Don't say it like that. Elo emo al menas lahotzio. He picked it up with the intention of carrying it out. Now, if you'll ask then, is that not a hagbah, a picking up tzorach hotzah for the purpose of carrying it out? Hocha b'mayaskinon kishaomad. He stood still, and with that, he is therefore chayev for the payment of money. There's a Rashi we would like to take a look at. Hocha b'mayaskinon kishaomad. Rashi toward the end of the column of Rashi commentary. Famidoso hi hanocha la'kiro rishona. His standing still is considered the placing down of the first picking up. There was the picking up, and then he stood still. That's like standing. That's like putting it down. The Shabbos violation does not take place, therefore, with the first picking up. The Shabbos violation will set in when he starts walking again with the intention of taking it out. Vakiras gufo kakiras chepetz. And the picking up, or the start of movement of his body, is like the picking up of the chepetz from the ground. So now, we turn back to the Gemara. Omad lemai. When you say that after he picked it up, and he had picked it up with the intention of taking it out, but he stood still. Why did he stand still? E lekasef, if he stood still just to adjust the package on his back, urche hu, that's a normal act of carrying, and therefore he should be, when he continues walking, it's not, it, we would say it's not as if he stopped at all. And therefore the original picking up would be a picking up with Shabbos violation in mind, and therefore he should be chayv only for the Shabbos violation and not for the theft. Elo ba'oimed lofush. Rather, what happened is he picked it up originally with the intention of walking out with it, but he didn't. He picked it up and stopped lofush, to rest. So with that, the act of gineva is done, because he stopped while he was still in the house. He then starts walking again, carrying it out. That's the Shabbos violation, which is, in the Reisha, a separate act, and therefore he's chayev first for the Geneva, and then for the Shabbos violation. Now we ask a question. If that's true, that that Omid Lofush is an explanation for the Chiyuv Shabbos, for the Chiyuv of Geneva, Avol Lekasef Mai, but if he would have stood still just for adjusting the package, then what are you going to say? Potter, we're at the top of Omid Beis now. You say he's exempt from paying. Aditoni, instead of teaching in the Seifa, Hoya Megara V'yotze Potter, the Seifa featured a case of payment exemption. And in order to do that, it had to change the action. Rather, he was dragging it out, and in that way, he ended up being exempt from paying. Nifloig v'nisni b'dida. We should have stayed within the case of picking it up and standing still, and made the distinction as follows. Niflog v'sibidah means make a distinction within the same case of picking up without coming to a case of dragging out. And it should have read as follows. Bamed vor mamurim, when is there a chiyuv tashlumin? B'yoymeid lofush, where he stands still to rest. Avala kasef, if he stood still simply to adjust the package, potter, he would be exempt from paying, because that was one continuous act of hotzah alone. Even though physically speaking he stood still, but nevertheless it was a standing still just to adjust the package. That's part of the act of carrying out. And hence it's only an act of Shabbos. Now, but the source didn't read like that. Ella, new approach to explain the Reisha. Ha money ben azai hi. The case of gonev kis is taught in accordance with the Tanaic opinion of Ben Azai, the Omar, Mehalech Ka'imed Domi. One who walks, as opposed to one who throws something from one domain to another, one who walks, every step, it's as if he stops at each step. Rashi says, Mehalech Ka'imed Domi, V'akiras Kol Psiya, the next step you take, every next step you take, Havya Akira Vahanochas Horegel, Havi Akira, Vahanochas Horegel, and the placing down of the foot, he Hanocha. That's considered the placing down. Hilkoch, Kanyo Mishas Hagbo. The thief is said to acquire it from the very initial picking up. Vahiyuv Misa Bepsio Basraisa. And the final step is that which creates the Chiyuv Shabbos. Again, let's read that. V'chiyuv miso b'psiyo basreiso ka'asyole. It's with his last step that the Shabbos chiyuv sets in. So that the reisha is understood in accordance with Ben Azai. The first picking up is the act of geneva. And then, it's true he kept walking, but the next step is already, the Geneva's already finished, so to speak, by his first act where he picked it up, put it down, and the Chiyuv Misa, that takes place later on with his last step as he steps out of the house. So the two are not happening, the Shabbos and the theft are not happening simultaneously. The Gemara continues. Avol, Zorek Mai, let's say you picked it up and threw it from within the house to outside. Potter, since we're learning according to Ben Azai, even though Ben Azai says that Mahalech Ka'omed, he wouldn't say the same thing by Zorek. And therefore, if the thief picked up the pouch in the house and threw it outside, the act of original picking up is in anticipation of it landing outside through the zrika, through the throwing. And as far as the theft is concerned, that's taking place at the same time. So if it would be zorek, he would be exempt. If that's the case, niflog v'nisni b'didah. The source didn't have to come onto the case of dragging. Could have stayed within the same realm of picking up and read as follows. Bamed v'mamurim, when will there be a chiyuv tashlum, an obligation to pay? B'mahalich, that's while after picking it up, he walks out with the pouch. Avol zorek poter. But there would have been exemption from paying had he thrown the pouch outside. But the source didn't read like that. Why not? The Gemara says, in truth, it could have read like that, but Megarer v'yotze it's the Richolei. The source had an agenda. It wanted to teach the case of dragging out. Salkadai techamina ein derech hotzah b'kach. I might have thought, without teaching this, that that's not the way of hotzah at all. And there would never be a chiyuv Shabbos for a person dragging a pouch from indoors to outdoors, from a private home to a street, to a public thoroughfare. Now, I might have thought, since it's an unusual way of executing transportation of an item, therefore, things done in an unusual fashion, as a general rule, do not result in a Shabbos violation. Kamash Malon, the source tells us that it falls within the realm of the usual. The Gemara asks, now that you mentioned that, regarding this dragging out issue, uvemai, what type of pouch are you dealing with in the seifa? Ibaravervi, if you're talking about a large pouch, urchehu, that's normal, it's a large sack, it's normal to drag it out, and I don't need a source to tell me something that's obvious. And yet you told me that the source felt compelled to teach me about dragging out. Why? If it's a large pouch, there's no point in telling me the obvious. Ibezutri, if it's a small wallet, lav urchehu, it's actually unusual, it's an unusual act, and you would not be chayev for Shabbos at all. And in the Seifa, you are chayev for the Shabbos violation. Elo b'mitzri, the source is talking about a middle-sized pouch that people at times do drag out. Uda'afke lehecha, we said you took it out of the house. Where did you take it to? What was the final destination? On the side, under the topic heading, we've written, Haim Shayech Liknois Birshus Rabbim. Is acquisition possible in a public domain? And when we speak about acquisition, there's legitimate acquisition. There's also acquisition in the context of theft. If the thief doesn't acquire it, so then the act of thievery didn't take place. So we have to analyze the action of taking the article, the pouch from the owner's house outside. Well, where was this outside? How do we describe it? Udaafke lehechon, he took it out to where? Idaafke lirushus harabim, if he took it from the house into a public thoroughfare, isur Shabbos iko, isur geneva leko. When he's dragging it out from a private domain into a public thoroughfare, it's true there's a Shabbos violation, but there's no act of acquisition of geneva, because the act of drawing something alone does not work when you're drawing it as an act of ownership in a public domain. Idafke Nurshus Hayochid, if he carried it out to a private domain from a house into an enclosed courtyard, let's say, Isur Geneva Ika, there would be an Isur Geneva, Isur Shabbos Leka, but there's no Shabbos violation. There is an act of theft of having taken it out of the owner's house to another private domain, and you do acquire things in a private domain, but a Shabbos violation does not take place. Lo Tzricha, the case of Megarav Yotze, is as follows. And we see a diamond that's introduced on the side under the Mivneh heading, Shnei Deos Be'im Kainim Birshus HaRab. And we're going to see two approaches regarding acquisition in a public domain. So the Gemara continues. The source of dragging out on Shabbos, Da'afke Letzide Rishus HaRabim. He dragged it out to an area called Tzide Rishus HaRabim. This is the area in a public thoroughfare that runs alongside the houses that are built along the street. Rashi adds a little bit more description to this. Tzide Rishus HaRabim, Samach Lebotim, next to the houses, people set up boundaries and blockades in the public thoroughfare to keep carts from banging into the houses themselves. From these blockades or curbs, if you will, this keeps people and their carts away from rubbing into the houses. So that area between the houses and the blockades that line the public domain, that's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. We continue with our questions. Ukeman, in accordance with whom are we explaining the source? E Karebi Eliezer, the Omar Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Kirshus HaRabim, Domu, if the source is understood in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer, that says that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are classified as Rishus HaRabim, well then, Isur Shabbos Ika, Isur Geneva Leka. There is an Isur Shabbos for taking it out from the house into what's called a public domain. But he never picked it up, so there was never an act of thievery. But he dragged it from the house to a public domain. But dragging something without picking it up into a public domain is not a form of acquisition. So there's no theft that took place. E kirabonon, if the source is authored by the rabbonon, the amri tzidei rishus harabim lav kirishus harabim damu, if in accordance with rabbonon that say that the sides of the rishus harabim are not considered the actual rishus harabim, Isur Geneva Ika, then you do have a theft violation because you took it into something that's not a public thoroughfare, so there is acquisition possible. Isur Shabbos Leka, but there is no Shabbos violation. You didn't take it from a private to a public domain. The Oilam, now you'll notice that we have a number one that's encircled and the word Le'olam is squiggle underlined. A few lines later, you see Rav Ashi, number two, and he's squiggle lined. And on the side, we have this noted as Deos HaMesumonos with one and two, Sovrim Delo Kainim Bishus HaRabim. These two opinions agree that acquisition does not take place in an actual thoroughfare. So the Gemara continues. La'olam k'Rebbi Eliezer, the source of dragging the pouch out on Shabbos is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer. V'chiyom Rebbe Eliezer tzidei Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaRabim damu, when he classified the sides of the Rishus HaRabim of having the status of Rishus HaRabim, hani mili le'inyin chiyuva de Shabbos. That is so with regard to Shabbos matters. De zimnin de dachki rabim v'ayli lahasam. Why does he classify it as a public domain? Because when it gets crowded in the main thoroughfare, the crowds spill over into the area called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as well. So as far as Shabbos laws are concerned, it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Avol inyan mikne koni. But as far as acquisition is concerned, it's viewed as a non-public thoroughfare. My time, why? It's not a place that the public is accustomed to being. It's only when there's overflow crowds do they spill over beyond the blockades close to the houses. So with regard to Shabbos, it has to be a place, in order to be called Rishus Rabbim, it's enough that sometimes the public is there. But as far as acquisition purposes, it's not called a Rishus HaRabim unless the public is usually there. And see, the Rishus HaRabim, they're not usually there. Therefore, acquisition is possible. So what you see, in the case of dragging out to the Tzid Rishus HaRabim, the Shabbos violation does take place at the same time that the acquisition takes place. And that's why he is exempt in the case of Megarer V'Yotze, the Seifa of the original source. Rav Ashi Omar, the case of Megarer V'Yotze that we said is Potter, he's dragging it out into an actual public domain. You'll ask, well, how does acquisition take place in order for us to say that that he's exempt for the thievery? In other words, a thievery takes place, but he is exempt for it. Now, you can see that we have an inverted crown shape on the side under the Mivneh heading. There's a recommendation to look at the Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil, Rav Acha. Lower on the page, Rav Acha Masni Hochi Kidamoran, the Meshicha Birshus HaRabim Lo Koni, Okim Lo Kishitzir Fyodo V'Kiblo L'Soicha. So, that's what Rav Ashi says over here. Let's continue back in our Gemara. Rav Ashi says he drags it out into the actual public domain. Kigon shitziref yado lamato mishloisha v'kiblo. He drags it out from the house and he lowers his hand. Tziref literally means he attaches his hand. Means he, here in this case, he lowers his hand very close to the floor of the public domain, within three hand breaths of the floor. The kiblo, and the pouch drops into his hand that's close to the floor of the public, of the actual public domain. Kidarava, and this works as a means of acquisition based on Rava, the Omar Rava, Yodoi Shalodam Chashuvalo Ka Arbo'o Al Arbo'o. A person's hand has, even though it doesn't measure 4 by 4 hand breaths, it has the significance of such a location that measures 4 by 4 hand breaths, and hence it's a location in which acquisition can take place. We take a look at Rashi, Kidarava Diyama Rava. Rashi, that we're looking at, a couple lines down from here in the Rashi commentary. The Inyan Hanochas Shabbos Kemokim Arbo Al Arbo. As far as Hanocha for Shabbos purposes, a hand is like an area measuring 4 by 4 tefachim, v'chiheichidin Shabbos choshuv mokum, and just like regarding Shabbos, it's considered a place of significance. L'inyan mikne nami choshuv mokum lemikni. As far as acquisition, it's considered as if it's a place of acquisition. Ki'ilu higbiyo lamala mishlosha. It's tantamount to a person picking something up more than 3 tefachim from the ground. That also would constitute an act of acquisition. But remember, in the Seifa, we're talking about a person who never picked it up. He's dragging it out. Umiru b'yushus ha'yochid lo agba. In this case, he never picked it up in the private domain. Tikni le mikami le sichi of Shabbos alei. In order for him to be considered a thief before the Shabbos violation set in. And in this case, the arrival of the pouch in the public domain and the act of acquisition take place at the same time. Ravashi mentions Siref is so as to avoid any semblance of having picked it up in the private domain, as the source itself taught. He dragged it out, never picked it up. So with this action of bending over and having one hand in the within 3 tefachim of the ground of the public domain, it's considered a place of significance in terms of landing for Shabbos violation and for acquisition purposes, and you can see they happen simultaneously. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Acha Masni Hochi. Rav Acha teaches like we just taught, that he dragged it, that Meshicha into a public domain is not Kone, and therefore we have to add this element of his hand was lowered near the floor into which the pouch dropped. Ravina Masni, teaches as follows regarding the issue of unto where did he take it? Li oilam di afke lirshusarabim ubirshusarabim nami kona. Ravina has a different take on this and says that you do acquire when you drag something into a public domain. And there's a long point that begins in the Gemara now. Utravayu, Ravacha, and Ravina, these two who are arguing regarding acquisition through dragging something directly into a public domain, b'diyuka d'homas nisin komifli. They argue concerning an inference from the following Tanaic source, Disnan. This source deals with someone stealing an animal. Hayamoshchay v'yotzei. A person is stealing an animal. He's dragging it out from its from the owner's domain. Umeis b'rshus b'ilim. The animal dies while still in the domain of the owner. Potter. The thief is exempt from paying because it died while still in the owner's domain. Higbio. If the thief picked it up. Or he dragged it out of the owner's domain and it died afterwards outside. Chayav, then the thief is obligated to compensate. Ravina diek mi resha, Rav Acha diek mi seifa. Ravina inferred from the resha and Rav Acha from the seifa, as the Gemara explained. Ravina diek mi resha. Ravina, who said what he did before, inferred his din from the resha. And what did the resha say? The first part of the source read as follows: Hoya moishchay v'yotzei. He was dragging the animal out from its place, from the owner's domain. Umeis b'shus b'ilim, and it died in the domain of the owner. Potter. The thief is exempt. The reason he is exempt is because the animal died while the animal was still in the domain of the owner. There was no act of thievery. Had he taken it out of the domain of the owner, wherever he took it out to, even into a public thoroughfare, and then the animal died, he would be chayav. So you see that the act of dragging something out without picking it up is a means of acquisition even in a public domain. That's Ravina's point. Now Rav Acha diek misefa. Higbio oshotzio. The seifa said if the thief picked it up in the owner's domain or he carried it out, hoitzo dumyo dahagbo. The act of taking it out, similar to the act of picking up. Just like picking it up, it comes into his own domain, even though physically speaking, he's still within the confines of the owner's domain, but by picking it up more than three tfachim from the ground, it's coming into your own domain, into the thief's domain. And that's an act of thievery. Af hoitzo nami, so to the act of hoitzo, you have to take it out, but the osi, the rishu say, it comes into your own domain, not into a public thoroughfare. Because coming into a public thoroughfare would not be considered coming into your own domain. And hence, coming into a public thoroughfare does not acquire, and certainly in our case, acquire in terms of thievery. Well, now that we demonstrated how each Amora infers from each part of the Tanaic source, what about the other part of the Tanaic source with regard to each Amora respectively? The Rav Acha Kashya Resha, the Ravina Kashya Seifa. According to Rav Acha, the Resha will pose a problem for Rav Acha, because in the Resha, we infer that once you take it out, wherever it is, even through Shusham, you are Kone. Rav Acha did not say that way. Ravina is presented with a problem from the Seifa, because we inferred from the Seifa that only when you carry it out into your own personal type domain are you going to acquire, but not into a public domain. The Gemara answers, Reisha l'Rav Acha lo kashya. The Reisha does not pose a problem for Rav Acha. Kama de lo osilu shusei, as long as you didn't bring it into your own domain, Rishus Bailim Karino Bay. It's considered on a legal level the owner's domain, which means that that would mean that even if you bring it into a public domain, it's still not your own domain. So what status would the public domain have? It would have the status of the owner's domain with regard to acquisition, i.e. non-acquisition. Seifa l'Ravina lo kashya, the end of the source is not a problem for Ravina. Hoitzadum yadagba lo amrinon, the assumption that the act of hoitzah has to be similar to the act of hagbah, in the sense that just like hagbah comes into your own domain, so to the act of hoitzah, Ravina doesn't see that equation. Hotzah, it's true, that comes immediately into your own domain, legally speaking, by picking it up. It's as if you're detaching it from the owner's domain and coming into your own domain. But with regard to hotzah, not necessarily so. You don't have to be motzied into your own domain in order to acquire. Even if you're motzied, even if you drag it out into a public domain, you still will. You are going to acquire it. Before we conclude, let us point out that the upcoming Gemara represents a topic that lasts for a very long time. We'll continue until Lamed Hei Omid Beis, but in the course of our Mirtzei Hashem, our upcoming Daf Yomi Shurim, it's going to have to be punctuated by nature of the forum in which these Shurim are being recorded.